You're listening to the Reef in Focus podcast, produced by the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think tourism is a really important part of how we actually protect the Great Barrier Reef, and it has changed a lot over time.
G'day and welcome to another special edition of our Reef in Focus podcast. We're recording this episode on Darumbal Country in Yeppoon in central Queensland. My name's Lincoln Bertoli, and in this episode, we're exploring the powerful connection between tourism and reef protection. From our passionate master reef guides to ecotourism operations, tourism plays an incredibly pivotal role in reef protection initiatives right up and down the Great Barrier Reef. And joining us today to discuss all things tourism and reef protection is a man who knows more about it than most. He's a diver, a master reef guide, a marine biologist, and now a Reef Authority project manager. Justin Bovary-Spencer is in the hot seat, and I'm pleased to say he joins us now. Hello, mate.
Hi, Lincoln. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us, mate. We have plenty to dig into. This is a pretty special topic, but I just want to start, if we can. It seems to be a pretty common theme across all our guests on this podcast. How did someone like you, who's now based in sunny North Queensland up in Cairns, find themselves living and working on the Great Barrier Reef after growing up in regional Victoria?
Yeah, I think my story is probably quite similar to a lot of people. It started with a family holiday where myself and my family decided to come up and see the reef. It was sometime in high school. I think I was about 15 years old, and I absolutely loved it. And at the time, I was really starting to fall in love with the ocean and think about marine science as a career. So I did go on and study that at university. And after studying that, I decided that the Great Barrier Reef was the place that I wanted to put it into practice and work. So straight after university, I decided to make the move up to Cairns.
And I guess there are some dots to join in between university and finding yourself at the Reef Authority. Did you work in tourism? Were you a tour guide? How did that all come about?
Yeah, so I spent 7 years in the tourism industry working for one of our high standard tourism operators. At that time, I worked as a marine biologist where I got to do all sorts of things from showing people and interpretation of the Great Barrier Reef and its wonders all the way through to research and conservation projects as well.
Now, you spent years working, as you say, across the Great Barrier Reef. You're probably the perfect person to ask. How have you seen the relationship between, say, the tourism industry and the Great Barrier Reef evolve over time? We see some mixed messages that tourism has adverse effects on the reef, but it's inherently the opposite, isn't it, in most cases?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think tourism is a really important part of how we actually protect the Great Barrier Reef, and it has changed a lot over time. I think one of the best things is that environmental stewardship is really becoming a core part of how you run a tourism business on the Great Barrier Reef. I think operators have realized that over time, without a really healthy and thriving reef site, they don't actually have a business to operate. So it's really critical then for actually to invest in caring for the sites that they're visiting every day. We can look at the history of tourism on the reef and how different it is. You know, right back in the early days of tourism on the Great Barrier Reef, we used to see crazy activities like riding turtles and tours where you got to collect your own corals along the way. But we see the complete opposite now, where tourism operators actually offer activities like learn to survey the reef, be a marine biologist for a day, or they actually get to actively participate in reef recovery projects. It's not just the operators as well. We find that tourists themselves have had a big shift, and overwhelmingly, they're more interested in traveling with operators who have a positive impact on the reef.
And it's more than, I guess, lip service, isn't it? You know, ecotourism and sustainable practice. It's very much, moving the industry forward. Can you give us an example of, I guess, what does sustainable tourism look like on the reef? You mentioned there, be a marine biologist example for a day. Can you share some more insights around that?
Yeah, I think a great example is what some of our high standard tourism operators are doing under the Tourism Reef Protection Initiative. They're not just taking people snorkeling. They're not just driving the boat out and throwing you in the water to see it. They're out there creating really wholesome and deep experiences on the reef. They're also making use of this to collect reef health data, to remove coral predators like crown of thorns starfish, and they're encouraging guests to contribute to citizen science. It's becoming a really hands-on experience for the visitors, and they're able to walk away knowing that they've helped, they've enjoyed their experience because of that deep connection they've formed to the reef on the day.
Yeah, okay. And it's not, I guess, to become a high standard tourism operator, you know, it's quite the benchmark, isn't it? It's a fairly rigid process. Not just anyone becomes a high standard tourism operator. Why are they, you touched on it a little bit, why are they such the benchmark for the marine tourism industry on the reef?
Yeah, so the operators that are recognised as high standard tourism operators, they're really setting the example because they're voluntarily going above and beyond what they're legally required to do. They're being certified by an independent body to show that they are committed to sustainable practices and that they do have stewardship over the sites that their business relies on for its tours. And this means they're minimizing their impacts that they have on the reef. They're offering these deeper educational experience that leave the guests more enriched from visiting. They're setting the bar really high and they're helping to protect the reef and showing the rest of the industry what's possible as a tourism operator.
And as you mentioned there, improving, as you said, by improving those visitor experiences, it's sort of changing the game a little bit. It's what guests or visitors to the reef are really looking for now is that immersive, sustainable experience.
Yeah, exactly. Like these operators are really focused on giving these visitors a rich and more meaningful experience. They want to show the guests that they are traveling with an operator that really cares about the reef and leave with them not just having a fantastic day, but really feeling good about visiting the reef.
And for us here at the Reef Authority, I mean, the reef is, we often say that it's such a big place, you know, and we can't protect it by ourselves. So these guys play a vital role, you know, from the Torres Strait right down to, you know, where the reef sort of ends down around Bundaberg and the Wide Bay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, tourism, I think it's the biggest asset for tourism is just the reach of it. They have that unrivaled access. They cover more of the reef than anyone else does, and they visit it a lot more often than anyone else does as well.
Now, you're a former tourism guide and marine biologist. You're a master reef guide. Can you explain, for my next question, what exactly does that mean? What is a master reef guide?
Yeah, so a master reef guide is basically any type of guide who is working on the reef. It could be a marine biologist such as myself, dive instructors, boat skippers who are leading tours, anyone who guides people out on the reef, basically who have proven themselves to be one of the best in the industry and committed themselves to becoming even better. So they undergo rigorous training, they get to do extra learning, they get to be connected with professionals throughout all aspects of the marine industry to really make sure that they are up to date with the latest information, as well as delivering these high quality experiences to the guests that they take out to the reef.
Can you put yourself in your own master reef guide fins, if you like? What's the most powerful part of your role when it comes to conservation?
Definitely the most powerful tool for a master reef guide has to be storytelling. It's really the core of what the Master Reef Guide program is all about. And as a master reef guide, we get the privilege to be the trusted voices on the reef. We get to undergo this extensive training to make sure that we get to share the most up-to-date science. And we get to do that in ways that are engaging and relatable to the guests on the reef. That's what forms the connection that we build with the visitors. And it can be what transforms them from being just a visitor or a tourist on the reef to actually being reef ambassadors after they do leave and continue in their normal lives.
Yeah, it's a great point. That was actually my next question. How do you see that storytelling element helping to shift visitor behaviour? You mentioned before that attitudes have certainly changed. How do you see it now? You must see a real difference in people that perhaps visit the reef for the first time with a master reef guide like yourself and come away just blown away almost.
Yeah, as I said, I think our role as a master reef guide is to help the guests to the reef form that connection. The most powerful tool we have for protecting the reef is people all around the world caring about it. And if we can make use of the master reef guides to spread that message and turn the visitors into ambassadors, I mean, we're talking over 2 million visitors to the reef every year. And if each one of them then goes and passes that message on to a couple more people, that's quite an incredible reach that we can get.
Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it? And makes people realize that they, even though if they're sort of visiting from anywhere in the world, that they can play a part to help protect it for the future.
Yeah, and there's a lot of power in what can end up happening. Around a whole global movement can be started, and it can start with just a simple story told on the reef.
It's a really interesting point you make there, Justin, that tourism does in fact play a crucial role, as we said, in protecting the reef. And the beauty of tourism now, particularly on the Great Barrier Reef, is that it's more accessible for everyone than it's ever been.
Yeah, that's right. I think over time, tourism has shown that it is an incredibly important tool in our toolkit of how we actually manage the reef. And like you said, it's the accessibility. It's so easy for the tourism operators to be getting out there. Who else gets to be at the reef every single day? That's how they're able to be the ones that collect this high-frequency data, more frequent than anyone else can. And it's the incredible passion that we see throughout the industry as well.
So on that note, one of our most, I guess, successful programs or effective programs over the last few years from a Reef Authority point of view has been the Tourism Reef Protection Initiative, TRIPI as we know it around the office. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how it supports reef health?
So this initiative is a Reef Authority program that it enables and supports tourism operators to carry out site-specific protection activities. So we've built this program over the years on the pillars of what it means to have stewardship over a reef site. It really all starts with gaining this super in-depth knowledge of the sites that our operators are visiting, and then starting to implement actions to protect those sites that are based on the knowledge and information and data that they're gathering out there. This can be things like controlling the coral predators that are on their sites, like crown of thorns starfish, and also assisting the natural recovery of the reef to bounce back after disturbances as well.
Yeah, okay. What sort of work does that involve, particularly after a disturbance like a perhaps a cyclone or a flood or something like that? What sort of work are these stewards doing on their reefs?
Yeah, so as I said, definitely one of the biggest assets is the ability for these operators to be out there collecting data for the Reef Authority to make management decisions. So tourism operators conduct reef health surveys as part of our Eye on the Reef program, which gives them, first of all, the greater understanding of their sites, but feeding that information through the Eye on the Reef system helps us as reef managers to understand the processes that happen out on the reef as well. The data that's gathered through these surveys then goes on to inform future management decisions, and we can decide to undertake direct coral protection actions, whether it be removing the predators from the reef or implementing assisted recovery actions as well.
How important is something like the Eye on the Reef system in terms of, managing and protecting a reef, the scale of the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, it's such a great survey system because it's built upon a series of relatively simple to do surveys, but the data that we can get out of it is incredibly powerful. It's really the only super frequent pulse check that we have. I mean, we have operators out there who actually do surveys every single week at their tourism sites, and I don't think there's any other program like it in the world where we get those weekly pulse checks of reef health that feed that data in. It's our early warning system on the reef. The Yep. tourism operators are the first to see when things happen to the reef, and they can be the first ones to tell us about it. And it also tells us a lot about how the reef changes over time by getting those frequent check-ins of what's going on the reef.
Yeah, okay. And what are they looking for when they're doing those surveys? What sort of data are they sending back in? Are they looking at coral cover? Are they looking at, as you mentioned, coral predation, the prevalence of starfish? Are they looking at different species or all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. They're looking for quite a few things. And as I mentioned, we have a few different tiers, a few different surveys within this system. For example, the weekly pulse checks are looking at the indicators of reef health. So this can be some of our really important species on the reef and looking at what happens to their populations. The guides actually, the surveyors actually do this really in-depth training with Reef Authority staff where they learn to identify diseases in corals and different impacts in corals. So they're always on the lookout for these sorts of things as well. Then they can get a little bit more in-depth and learn to estimate things like coral cover, really learn about the different morphologies of corals and how they form the habitat on the reef, and Yep. give us these really in-depth breakdowns of what the condition of the reef is like at a certain point in time.
Yeah, okay. And there's no better people really, is there? They're out on the water in this environment almost every day.
That's exactly right. And like I said before, definitely the biggest asset that tourism is to us is just how much access they have to the reef. You know, we have moorings across the entire marine park. They're going to the same sites every day. We could never hope to be out there surveying the reef as often as the tourism industry is.
Yeah, okay. Just on that note, what sort of feedback, I guess anecdotally in your time as a tourism operator to your role now, have you heard from tourists who not only learn about the reef's challenges but how they can help? Are they I imagine it must be quite overwhelming sometimes that they're so keen to get on board and help out any way they can.
Yeah, I would often hear from visitors, they'd be telling me that it's really changed their perspective of the reef. As you said in your introduction, you know, it's hard to know what happens on the reef because of the mixed messaging that we often do get through media. But visiting the reef, especially when it's with a well-informed guide like a master reef guide, helps to bring a lot of clarity to them to what's actually happening on the reef. They might come out just expecting a beautiful day, but they're leaving with this deeper understanding and appreciation for how complex the reef actually is. And many visitors would often comment that they're hearing a lot about the reef in the media and they're really grateful to learn more about the entire story, to learn both about the threats to the reef, the challenges it faces, but also how resilient and tough the reef can be as well.
Yeah, okay. It's a great lead into our next sort of point, I guess. The reef is incredibly resilient due to the biodiversity and the size and scale of the reef, but it is facing pressures and challenges. What gives you hope, I guess, when it comes to the future of the Great Barrier Reef and how tourism can help protect it?
I think definitely one of the things that fills me with hope the most is just seeing the passion that's out there in people. I think people give me hope. I don't think that you can find anyone more passionate about looking after the reef than the staff that work for these operators that get to spend every single day out there on the reef. You know, when they're visiting these sites, it's almost like a second home to them. And every single piece of coral, every little animal that occupies that second home becomes really precious to them. And they become really passionate and will do whatever they can to protect it. The passion, I think, starts to then become quite contagious and it passes on to the visitors who are coming to see the Great Barrier Reef as well. And it really becomes not just significant to those of us who are fortunate enough to work there on the reef, but it becomes significant to people all over the world. And I think more than ever in history, people want to come and see the reef in a responsible way, form this connection to the reef, and then go home and do whatever they can to help to protect it as well.
Yeah, it's a really good point that it does have that not only that significance, but certainly a pull or a draw to it as well. It draws people like yourself, not only from across Australia, but I know here in the Reef Authority, yourself as well, we have staff from all over the world. So it's certainly there's certainly something significant and iconic about it. Can we finish with, for people listening today, what's one thing that they can do to support sustainable tourism and reef conservation if they want to come and enjoy a few days experiencing the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing for people to know because, as we've alluded to, it's people really want to do the right thing when they're visiting the reef and they want to be supporting sustainable tourism. I think the first step is if you're coming to visit the reef, choose responsible operators. Look up those who are registered as high standard tourism operators, and then you're able to travel knowing that you're doing the right thing and the operators are doing the right thing for the environment, as well as offering these certified fantastic experiences. Even if you're not traveling, I think you can still support the reef by taking those small actions at home. Simple things, reducing waste, cutting carbon emissions, and sharing what you learn about the reef with others are all really powerful ways to help to protect the reef. And I think people really underestimate the power of their choices. You know, what we buy, the small actions we take at home, and, you know, what we talk about when we talk about the reef can actually have a lot of influence when we've got people all over the world doing it together.
Yeah, it's a great message, mate, and it's always fascinating to hear from someone like yourself, I guess, who's worked on both sides, if you like, moving from the tourism industry into the protection and management side of the Great Barrier Reef. Look, we could talk all day, I'm sure. It's fascinating to hear how tourism is helping protect and enhance our management actions, you know, from Bundaberg right up to the tip of Cape York. So we'll let you go, Justin. We really appreciate your time, and hopefully next time we talk, we might make our way up to Cairns and have a chat on a boat somewhere.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks, Lincoln.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reef in Focus podcast. If you'd like to hear more, please subscribe on your preferred podcast platform, leave us a rating or review, and visit our website, reefauthority.gov.au, for more Great Barrier Reef content.